This message of the Word becoming flesh, Jesus coming to earth, has the power to change everything. It's not just a message for Christmas, as we've just celebrated, but it's the basis of all that we believe and all that we live for. And so at the start of this new year, it's time to focus in again on the most important person who ever lived and whose presence is still alive today through us and in us. And that's Jesus, the Word who was made flesh. As I began to pray about this new year, I sensed God saying, "Return to me, return to me." Over the past year and a half, we've spent quite a bit of time thinking about how we do church in our current context. And many of our conversations and sermons have been thinking about our response to COVID. But I sense that it's now time to turn our focus back to the only thing that really matters. And that's Jesus and the relationship that we have with him. Ultimately, that is what our faith is all about. It's the good news of Jesus that has the power to change lives, our lives and the lives of others. It's the good news of Jesus that has the power to lead those who are disconnected from church back into a relationship with him. It's the good news of Jesus that has the power to engage children and young people in faith. And it's the good news of Jesus that brings a hope that's worth sharing with our community and with the world around us. And so my invitation, well, not my invitation, his invitation to all of us today is to return to him, to welcome Jesus into our lives again, to make him the focus of our lives, to make him the focus of this year and every year. This year, in our services and small groups, we're going to be working our way gradually through the Gospel of John, starting today with the first chapter. One well-known saying says that this gospel is like a pool that's safe for a child to paddle in, but deep enough for an elephant to swim. It contains some incredibly deep ideas, and in some ways is quite complex, but it also provides a welcome to anyone. Tom Wright, in his commentary, says that millions of people have found that as they come closer to this book, the friend above all friends is coming out to meet them. It gives the appearance of being written by someone who was a very close friend of Jesus and who spent the rest of his life mulling over more and more deeply what Jesus had said and achieved, praying it through from every angle and helping others to understand it. This book does have its complexities, but it also has the power to speak not only to the most intelligent among us, but to those who come to it with simple humility and hope. And so the gospel begins in John chapter 1 with a section that's known as the prologue. This is the introduction to everything that's going to follow. John is introducing some very important themes that will run through the rest of his account about Jesus. And so let's pick out some of these themes this morning. The first is found in John's opening words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. John could very easily have begun his gospel by talking about John the Baptist, who was coming to prepare the way, or perhaps talking about the birth of Jesus, as some of the other gospel writers do. Or he could have just begun with the verse for the year that we're thinking about Jesus coming to earth as a man, the Word becoming flesh. But he doesn't begin with these things. He begins by making a very clear link to the beginning of creation. He even uses some words that are really familiar that are repeated through Genesis chapter 1. The words "in the beginning." John is really keen to show that his account is not just a biography of one man who lived on earth, but it's part of a much greater story. He's keen that we see his book as the story of God and the world that God had created. And not just the story of one character, one person who lived in one place and at one time. And this is why the start of this gospel is so important and so relevant to us today as well. Because by placing Jesus in the beginning of creation, John straight away takes Jesus out of our conventional understanding of time and space. And this means that the Word who was there at the beginning of creation and the Word who became flesh as a man is still active and still present in the world today and is still working in our lives today. The story of God and his world didn't end with Jesus. We're actually still part of that story. And the account that John is going to share in this gospel that we're going to explore this year has a very real relevance to life on earth in 2022. Because Jesus is part of a bigger story that is still being written today. And Jesus is the main character, but we're all playing a part in shaping that plot. Having made this connection with the bigger story of God and the world, John then moves on to focus in a bit more on the person of Jesus, a bit more closely. He begins by talking about the life and light that Jesus brings to the world. Again, the connection is made with the creation story when God spoke the words, "Let there be light." But John is keen that we understand that this light is coming to be present in the world in the form of a man, that this light would shine in the darkness but would not be overcome, and that this light would bring life to all of humankind. In verse 9 we read, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." This theme of life and light is repeated throughout John's gospel. He's keen that we understand that Jesus is the antidote to all darkness and to all death. And in later passages that we're going to read, this is made clear in the words that Jesus spoke, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus spoke these truths, these words about himself. This gospel was written into a world trying to make sense of darkness and suffering and pain and death. The message that Jesus came to bring of light and life brings so much hope, not just to those who would have read it originally, but to us today as well. We can receive comfort and strength in knowing that Jesus understands our pain because he endured it himself. And we can hold on to the hope that darkness and death isn't the end because Jesus defeated it and he rose into life and to light. Then there is the more obvious theme of John's gospel to pick out, that Jesus became a human being and he lived among us. This is a really incredible truth that if you think about it too much is actually quite mind-boggling. How can someone be both fully man and fully God? But I think this is part of the miracle and the mystery of Jesus. It's not something that we actually need to try and understand. Instead, we should take a moment to breathe it in and consume this incredible truth that God loved us so much that he came to be with us. One writer says this: "Jesus became the visible expression of the invisible God. He became a visual aid, as it were, to reveal the nature of the Father. He was God in a suit of flesh. He was God expressing himself in a language we could understand. He was announcing to the world, 'I have come.'" In trying to make sense of the incarnation, that's a more theological word for God becoming a man, some people have lessened the divinity of Jesus in order to understand his humanity. We have to remember that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And in coming to earth, he added humanity to his character, but didn't subtract any of his divinity. He didn't subtract any of the aspect of his character that meant that he was God. And so ponder for a moment what it really means that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. The almightiness of God moved in a human arm. The love of God now beat in a human heart. The wisdom of God spoke from human lips. The mercy of God reached forth from human hands. Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh. As I was preparing for this talk, I read a story about a little girl who was frightened one night during a thunderstorm. And she cried out to her father, "Daddy, help me." And her dad replied, "God loves you and will take care of you." The storm raged, and again the frightened girl called out to her daddy for help. And his response again was, "God loves you and will take care of you." Then there was another bolt of lightning and a clap of thunder. And the girl again called her daddy, and her daddy's response was the same. But this time the girl replied, "Daddy, I know that God loves me, but right now I need someone with skin on." Jesus became God with skin on, and he came to be with us. This passage actually says that he made his dwelling among us. The word dwelt literally means to pitch a tent, or another word for it is to tabernacle. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, and particularly when the people were wandering in the desert, the Israelites were wandering in the desert, they constructed a tabernacle, a tent, for meeting and worshipping in. And this was seen as the place where God was present and where the people could go to encounter him. John was making the link between the tabernacle, this place of encounter with God, and Jesus. He was saying that Jesus is now the place where we meet with God, where we encounter God, and where we see God's glory revealed. As I just said, it's in Jesus that God's glory is revealed. And this is another theme running through John's gospel, that Jesus came to reveal God's glory to the world. And we read this in our verse for the year. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son." When Jesus uses the words "we have seen," he uses a word that literally means to gaze intently upon something. And the word "glory" refers to the visible manifestation of God's presence and power. God's presence and power plain for us all to see. And so in this verse, John is saying that Jesus became a human being, that he is the place where we meet God today, and that when we gaze intently on him, we see God's presence and God's power revealed to us. This theme of Jesus revealing God's presence and power is seen throughout the rest of John's gospel, no less so than in the 7 signs and miracles of Jesus that John has written down for us. And in John chapter 2, we see the first of these miracles as Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding in Cana. At the end of this account, John writes, "He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." In the same way, we put our faith in him as we gaze intently on his presence and his power that's revealed to us, yes, as we read these words in John's gospel, but also as we experience and know his power and his presence at work in our lives today. Our verse for the year and this prologue at the start of John's gospel ends with a powerful word of invitation. It tells us that Jesus came to earth full of grace and full of truth. In the Message version, it says that Jesus was generous inside and out, true from start to finish. These are two massive words to get our heads around, grace and truth. Grace is about us receiving far more than we deserve because of God's love and generosity to us. Truth is about God being consistent and trustworthy in the way that he deals with humankind. And these two words together explain why Jesus came to earth. He came to earth because he was full of grace. And that's why he died for me and for you, despite our sinful nature. We didn't deserve that, but he did it anyway. But he was also full of truth. And because he was full of truth, he was able to pay for our sins completely. This message of grace and truth is at the heart of the good news of Jesus, because it means that we can come to him just as we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. We don't have to have our lives sorted out or pretend to be perfect. We can come to him with complete confidence that he will keep his promises to us, that he will be with us always, and that he will save us from sin and from darkness and from death. This is the invitation that Jesus gives to us. Come to me just as you are. And the last theme that I want to mention that's revealed in the start of John's Gospel is in verse 10, where it says, although Jesus was in the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but they didn't receive him. We've already established the fact that the Word becoming flesh holds incredible, life-changing, world-transforming significance that's just as relevant today in 2022 as it was 2,000 years ago. But this verse reminds us that many people, even when Jesus walked on the earth in a physical human body, still didn't recognize him and still didn't receive him. And if he walked among us today, I'm sure many of us would fail to see him for who he really is. But we go on to read that to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. As we begin this new year, Jesus is inviting us again to be children of God. We're invited to be part of God's big story of the world. We're invited to receive comfort and strength and hope from the light of the world who brings us life. We're invited again to enjoy his presence and have him dwell with us, to live in us by his Spirit. We're invited to be witnesses of his glory revealed in the world today. We're invited to receive his grace and to know his truth. Jesus says, come to me, return to me, make me your focus, and let's change this broken world together. Jesus invites you. How will you respond? Is that an invitation you will accept at the start of this new year? I know it's one that I simply can't refuse.